Let's go to the Rivertown Hotline. Welcome in Mountaineer head coach Bob Huggins. Coach, this is a little bit different because usually at this point you already know who you're going to play and you could start game planning. So what's it like for you in your prep work knowing that you're going to get either UAB or Clemson?
Well, it's a lot different, you know, and particularly when we're not going to know until late Tuesday night. So, you know, you basically have one day of prep for whichever team. We're trying to go over some of both teams just to try to cover ourselves as best we possibly can. But, neither team's going to be a hard game for us.
So at this point, Coach, how much time then are you focused on just what you do or what you need to do better? And if I can ask, what would that be?
Maybe make a basket. That'd be a heck of a start. We're doing that, but, you know, we're trying to make sure that we can do what we have to do defensively to guard either one of them. And so we've taken a little bit of both and kind of put them together in our defensive segment of practice. And then, you know, it's a whole lot different whichever team, you know, we're going to play. I think Clemson is basically just a man-to-man team. Similar to some of the people in our league, and UAB is going to play 2-3 zone, 1-2-2 zone. They're going to play some man, and they're going to mix it up. So it makes prep a lot harder.
Coach, when last time you came to Pitt about a month ago or so, those guys felt like Truck Bryant is the player who makes your team go, and if they could control him, that would go a long way toward winning the game. Do you feel like that? Is he the guy that makes your team go?
Yeah, it kind of depends on the day. You know, some days I think it's Dennis, you know, in the post, and other days I think it's Casey Mitchell. You know, some days it's Truck. It's been days when it's Joe Mazzulla. Some days it's Kevin Jones. You know, we don't know which one of them is going to really take advantage of what the defense gives them on that particular day. So I think maybe in some ways it makes us a little harder to scout, but in some ways we really don't know ourselves until the game starts.
Coach, how much of that is what the defense is, you know, in football they'll say what the defense is giving you, but how much is it that, or how much is it just a basic inconsistency from game to game from your guys offensively?
Well, I think it's very well documented. We haven't shot the ball very well. And when you don't shoot the ball very well, that makes it a lot harder. It makes it a lot harder on the inside guys when you can't get people spread, and certainly makes it a lot harder to be able to score the ball because the defense becomes so compacted. But, you know, we've had days when Truck shot it well. We had some days when Casey shot it really well. We've had some days when Joe Mazzulla played exceptionally well.
Well, Coach, I got good news for you. I got you beating Kentucky, if that makes you sleep any better tonight.
And, well, you know what? You know what, man? If we get that far, I'd be happy to try to oblige.
All right, cool. Hey, I was wondering. I mean, do you tell your kids to enjoy this while you can? I mean, obviously they look back and you know you try to tell them that you know we got to win. But you tell them to enjoy this at the same time.
I think you enjoy the process. Enjoying it might be a stretch. You know, I mean, I think you still have to prepare, and you still have to work on things that you got to get done, and you know you have to do that as best you can at game speed. So I think you enjoy the process. You know, I think we went through the tournament a year ago and enjoyed the process greatly, but at the same time, we did what we had to do.
You feel like this team, Bob, has it in it to make a run? You guys had a phenomenal run last season. Obviously, Deshaun Butler was maybe the biggest part of that. Does this team have it in them? Have you seen at least glimpses of this team being very good?
Well, you know, we go on a bit of a roll, and we beat Notre Dame, Connecticut, and Louisville and get a road win at Rutgers, and you think you kind of got it going pretty good, and then we went to New York and didn't play very well against Marquette. So, you know, I don't know. I wish I knew. I'd feel a whole lot better and sleep a little easier if I knew.
Coach, what does it say about the Big East that UConn goes into the conference tournament as a 9 seed, and yet when the brackets come out for the big dance, they're a 3 seed?
Well, if you guys hadn't heard, it was a down year for the Big East. And I think that's what everybody was saying at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
You know, and all we do is have 2 number one seeds and 11 teams in the tournament. And the year before, I think everybody said it was a down year for the Big East. And, you know, the caliber of coaches that you have in the Big East, you know, from Jamie Dixon to Jim Boeheim to Jim Calhoun and Jay Wright and Rick Pitino and on and on and on, we're not going to have down years. Guys coach too well. And I think because institutions are very attractive to student athletes. I think we're going to have good players. So, you know, that combination bodes pretty well for having a heck of a league. You know, when you're trying to figure out, you know, how you're going to win a game, I think it becomes very difficult. But we've got a great league. We're a great league with great coaches and great players.
Some people, I think, wonder, Bob, if it's too good around the NCAA tournament time. And I saw a recent story that pointed out that since the Big East expanded to 16 teams and 18 league games, there has not been a Big East team in the national title game. There's been a couple suggestions maybe reducing the regular season schedule. But my point is, does the wear and tear of that schedule, do you believe, hurt your league when it comes to this tournament?
I don't know that the wear and tear of the regular season does. I mean, and it's hard, don't get me wrong, it's hard. But, you know, you take a Connecticut who plays five games in a row, and I know a year ago we beat Georgetown in a championship game, and it was their fourth game, and I think, you know, and it's a hard game, and we're fortunate to win at the buzzer, and, you know, I think they were flat. You know, they were flat going into their first-round game, which is hard to overcome. And, you know, I think for us, because we won, and I think because we're fortunate enough to play on Friday, too, that, you know, we had a little bit more time to recover, but... I think it's difficult. I think it's you play five games in 5 days. I don't think anybody who's never been in the situation realizes how hard that is and how physically taxing that is. You know, you go, Syracuse got beat by Louisville in the championship game a couple of years ago after going six overtimes with Connecticut and then an overtime with us. It's hard, you know, and it takes a while, I think, for guys mentally to bounce back. You know, I think guys are young and they can bounce back physically, but mentally it's hard.
Bob Huggins with Seibel, Starkey and Miller on Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan. We had somebody on the show a little bit earlier, Coach, saying if they were Jim Calhoun, they wouldn't allow Kemba Walker out of the ice tub until just before game time. Five games in 5 days is almost impossible. Bucknell's still going to have their work cut out for them. But it almost seemed like when this... the new fifth day came out, you're sitting there thinking it's impossible for somebody to be able to play five games in 5 days and win them. How impossible do you think it is for UConn to be 100% after playing that many games in that many days and 4 days later asked to do it again?
Well, did anybody think they would be 100% for game four and game five? Mm. But they were, because they'd be two great teams. Two great teams that both of them are extremely well coached. So... You know, a lot of it, I think, is your frame of mind. But, you know, we as coaches thought the best thing to do would be, you know, one play 16, you know, two play 15, and then have a day off. And then that would start the other people later on. And it got voted down for whatever reason. But you're asking kids, young men, whatever, to do a lot. And you know, I don't understand the rationale as to why the model that really Jim Boeheim proposed wasn't adopted.
Yeah, coaches seem to like the model. Athletic directors didn't so much. Earlier, Jamie Dixon.
No, the athletic directors voted unanimously with the coaches. That's not where it got shot down.
Where did it get shot down, Coach?
At the presidential level.
Oh, presidents. Thank you for correcting me on that one. Jamie Dixon had said earlier, he was taking the positive spin since, you know, obviously they wanted to win the Big East tournament. They didn't, so he's going the positive spin of, okay, we've had some time to rest. How did you approach it, Coach, after the loss to Marquette? Where was the positive if you tried to find one out of all that?
I was having a hard time finding any. We took some time off. Today's really the first day that we've kind of gone a full practice and gone really hard. But you know, we've got nine guys too. We've got nine guys on scholarship and really play seven. So, you know, I think after going through the Big East season and then going through a tough loss at Marquette, I thought we needed some time off. I think mentally as much as physically.
Bob, I know you're getting ready for your game, obviously, but everybody around here is wondering about Pitt. You play them twice a year. You prepare for them twice a year. What is the strength of this team, and where are they vulnerable as they enter the tournament?
Well, I think they play four guys who can lay it on the floor and attack the rim. And when you look at, you know, when they get down, they just put their heads down and drive it at the basket, and there aren't a whole lot of teams that that can guard four guys off the bounce, and they do a great job of penetrating pitch. They do, and I think Brad Wanamaker has been absolutely phenomenal for him. I mean, he has made plays at the end of the games for not just for himself but for other people. And you know, Ashton Gibbs is probably the best 3-point shooter in our league. So you know, when you got a guy who can break the defense down, and I think Brad Wanamaker uses the ball screen. Probably he and Kemba Walker are probably the two best in our league. And you know, when you do that, you create mismatches. You can penetrate and pitch. You get step in shots for guys like Ashton Gibbs, and they've got a lot of guys that can make shots. You know, they don't have a lot of guys who make them consistently, but they always kind of find somebody who makes some that day. You know, and I guess the Achilles heel, if there is one, is they're not a great perimeter shooting team. But the truth is they don't have to be, because they get everything at the rim so well.
Well, of the 68 teams that are going dancing, only four have no idea who exactly their first opponent's going to be. And West Virginia is one of those teams. They'll await the winner between UAB and Clemson. That game is tomorrow. West Virginia will take on the winner in Tampa on Thursday. Coach Huggins, thank you so much for joining us, and best of luck to you in the big dance.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.